Now, Larry came up and guessed, and he said, let me guess, you'll be Luke chapter 2. I'm in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 2 will be Sunday, likely, you know, if I go in that direction. But in Luke chapter 1, I'm not going to start at the beginning just because Luke chapter 1 is 80 verses. So we won't go through the whole thing, but we're going to start in verse 26. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man. Now, when it says the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Zacharias and Elizabeth who were going to birth John. She was 6 months expecting by then. So in the sixth month, the angel's sent from God. Notice who sends the angel. One of the things you have to understand about angels is they are not supposed to do their own thing. By the way, Christians aren't just supposed to do their own thing either. You know, so it's, you know, it goes both ways. You ought to be sent to do something from God. In other words, you know, God sends you for a purpose. God may send you over to talk to somebody about the Lord, but all of us are sent to be ambassadors and witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling others about how He died on the cross. He was buried, He rose again. He died on that cross for our sins. The Bible says He became sin. He shed His blood on that cross so that we can be saved. All of us are sent to tell others of that. Now, this Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin, not the virgin, just a virgin. A virgin espoused to a man. Now, espoused means that it's a legal form of commitment. When you're espoused, you are already legally committed, almost like having to divorce the situation to break the espousal. It's different from what we understand here in the United States. It's sort of like in the United States, you just, you know, give somebody a ring and then, you know, cold feet and just break it off. That's not the way it was in Bible times. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Notice it says of the house of David. So the lineage is very important. The lineage comes through Mary because Joseph is not the father of Jesus. So Joseph's lineage actually was accursed. Caniah was accursed. And therefore he could not legitimately be the father of the Lord. That's one of the other reasons why you had to have the virgin birth. Because Caniah was cursed in Joseph's lineage, and no offspring of that lineage would ever sit on the throne. Therefore, Jesus couldn't sit on the throne, except Joseph wasn't the true father because there was no father. He did become the stepfather, though. That's important to understand. All right, so a virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, the interesting thing is, in Judges 5:24, Jael is said to be blessed above women. Here, Mary is blessed among women. Mary's not to be elevated. By the way, all generations should call her blessed, though. No, don't kid yourself. You think about it. Here is somebody chosen of God to bring into this world the Son of God. And every generation ought to look at her and say, wow, what a blessed young lady Mary was. But the Bible says she had other children, so she isn't a perpetual virgin, not according to the Bible. She had other children. She wasn't immaculately conceived herself. That's not true. She was a sinner. In fact, hold your place here and let me show you how she needed a Savior. Look at verse 46. Mary's going to be speaking in Luke 1:46. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in who? God, my Savior. You see, God is Mary's Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Her son is her Savior. She needed a Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And by the way, that's why every generation ought to call Mary blessed. Why? Because she was chosen of God. There's only one woman ever chosen in all the world to bring the Lord into the world. And that was Mary. Everybody ought to rejoice over that. She's highly favored. She's blessed among women. Verse 29, and when she saw him, the angel, this is back in verse 29, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, now here's seven promises to Mary by God concerning the child that was going to be born. Here they are, seven of them. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Number two, and shalt call his name Jesus. Who determined the name? God. And what's his name? Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you, you know, you need to call it, you know, any other name. Jesus. There's no other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved but the name of Jesus. Number three, he shall be great. That verse 32. He shall be great. You know, the Bible's perfect, but boy, you think about the understatement of the world. You know, he shall be great. No, he's wonderful, great. You know, all the words you couldn't even imagine to describe him, but, you know, I understand. He is great. He shall be great. And number four, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest. That's at the first coming. At the first coming, he's called the Son of the Highest, and then there's a colon there, and then we talk about the second coming. Look at the fifth one, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. He's going to sit on the throne of David in the millennium, in the future, after the seven-year tribulation, after the rapture. The rapture happens, seven-year tribulation, and there could be gaps in there, but seven-year tribulation. He returns to earth, sets his kingdom up, and that's what it's talking about right there. And the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David. Now, how did David become his father? Through Mary. Not through Joseph, but through Mary. Remember, the lineage in the Bible is generally given through the father. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, Adam, you know, had a son, and he had a son, and he had a son, and he had a son, and, you know, you got Melchizedek, and you've got Abram, and you've got, all, you know, his sons, and, but here we have a very strange thing. There was no man involved. So the lineage comes through Mary, and David is his father, and he's going to sit on that throne in the future. Number six, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And I was going to give you seven, but he shall reign over the house of Jacob. What's the house of Jacob? Well, that's the nation of Israel. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. Number seven, and his kingdom there shall be no end. His kingdom's never going to end. So he's got a 1,000-year millennial kingdom, but that doesn't mean that he stops to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords at that time, at the end of the 1,000 years. His kingdom's forever, but the millennial kingdom is a limited 1,000 years. That's what millennium means. So that kingdom only lasts 1,000 years, but he continues, his kingdom continues for all eternity. So that's the seven promises mention concerning the son that Mary was going to have. Can you imagine Mary? Now, just for a moment, she's pure. She's naive, you would think. She doesn't have the internet, doesn't have television, doesn't have a cell phone, iPhone, you know, doesn't sit there glued to it all day long and iPads and, you know, everything that, you know, steals the purity from so many young children, let alone adults. Shouldn't have all that. She probably, I would say she probably blushed when that angel said the things that he said. I mean, I look at that and go, you know, first of all, okay, so, all right, I'm going to have a child. I'm not married, but I am a spouse to a man. And that child is going to be this right here? Do you think she thought, well, I know why you're here. Because I'm Mary. No, she thought, I'm unworthy. It's like when I talked to Larry about becoming a deacon, he said, well, he says, I'm unqualified, which we all say. But why? Well, because we all feel unworthy. I don't feel worthy to be a pastor. I'm blessed to be a pastor. I was in the pastor for 19 years. I wasn't, and I told my wife when I got out, not that there were such problems, but really the demands when I was associate pastor and we had 50 employees on staff, but the building wasn't any bigger than this, but we had a school of 450 students. That's what was big. The school was big. The demands were big. The sports were big, and you know, everything about the school was so, you know, it was the tail wagging the dog most of the time. And I looked at that and I was like, man, I don't know if I ever want to get back, you know, into that again. And now I'm overwhelmed with our 7 people we have here. No, it is what it is. I don't care whether we have 770 or 700. It really doesn't change it. I hope with 700 I might have an assistant more than the treasurer that we overwork and the maintenance man that's sitting next to her but's out there probably and the other one and the, you know, all these people we overwork. I mean, yeah, I, you know. But with 700, I hope I would have the help that would go along with that. But, you know, the point being, look, none of us. Mary didn't feel like, hey, you pick me because I'm deserving. No. Everybody that's ever chosen to do something for God, everybody feels unworthy. Because I said everybody chosen of God. There's a lot of people that choose themselves. And when they choose themselves, you know what they are? They're worthy in their own mind. But anybody, everybody chosen of God feels unworthy. We're going to do a memorial service Wednesday. I feel unworthy to do anything as honoring as that to Miss Nina. I mean, how can you not? These 3 young ladies, you know, they're hesitant to come up here. They're hesitant to listen, that's okay. But do it. It'd be like me going, oh, no, I'm unworthy, so I'm not going to preach. Really? I'm unworthy, so I'm not going to be a deacon. I'm unworthy, so I'm not going to be the treasurer. I'm unworthy. No, look, that's the ones he wants. Those are the ones he uses. You ever hear Gary and talk about how song leading? I miss his song leading. Is he the best one I ever have seen in the whole wide world? No, I've seen Sankey do the music for who was it for? Anyway, that old big, you know, worldwide, world famous guy. Yeah. Well, no, not Billy Sunday. I've seen the recordings of it. I think you're right. Ira Sankey. And there was another one that did it for Graham. What was his name? Anybody remember his name? Anyway, yeah, I mean, but Gary should feel unworthy because that's the one God wants. God doesn't want somebody that says, hey, I'm here, I'm special, And listen, you don't have to tell everybody you're unworthy. Don't get me wrong. Larry did it. Gary, we talked months and months and months, 6 months ago. We went out to eat. May have been pre-COVID. Do you remember? No, they were wearing masks. I remember we went out to eat and the lady said, "I don't want to die." I mentioned it when I was preaching. She's wearing that mask. She didn't want to die. And that's what they were pumping into everybody's brain at the time. But you don't have to say, "I'm unworthy." You just have to know it. You have to believe it. You have to realize none of us is worthy to do the work of God. But God wants to use willing servants. Let's go on. Look at verse 34. Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Do you know, we've got young children in here. We've got mixed company. I just read that verse, and I'm not embarrassed at all saying that she said, "I know not a man." You know, modern versions will change it and say, "Well, I don't have a husband." Well, just because you say, "I don't have a husband," doesn't mean you've never known a man. Right. See, the Bible's specific. "I know not a man. I am a virgin." That's what it means. Verse 35. "The angel answered and said unto her..." Now, get this. Now, listen, we've read the stories of the so-called Christmas stories, and it's chapter 2, but I want you to, for a moment, to just stop. Stop taking it for granted and read the words. Put yourself in Mary's place. Mary's going to hear... Just pretend you're hearing this as Mary for the first time. Watch. "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Wow. Now, I read that, and you may have read it many times, but think about it from that young virgin's ears in what she heard. How overwhelmed she must have been to hear those precious words from the angel Gabriel. Just stop for a moment, clear all the clutter away, and think about that. "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. He shall be called the Son of God." Verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her," remember that in verse 26, "who was called barren." You know, sometimes people can be so cruel. You've got to be very careful in how you deal with the things you say. That's why I'm very particular on Mother's Day. Mother's Day is to celebrate mothers. But some women are mothers in another way. They're the aunt that never had children that took care of their sister's children like they were her own. We adopted ours. Judy had a miscarriage and we adopted our two, or we wouldn't have had children. There are some people that can never have children. And that's why even in a subject like abortion, you'll always hear me say, we would still love the young lady that had the abortion. We've got to be very careful of that. Sometimes we get so aggressive in the things we say, we only come from one angle and we forget there's 10 other angles out there that we've got to look at. There are young people that are being convinced that it's just a fetus. It's a piece of tissue until they see that ultrasound. And many of them, when they see that ultrasound, they say, "That's a baby in there." And it is a baby. Point being, some people can't have children and haven't had children and never get to experience motherhood or fatherhood. We've got to think about those things when we... Listen, I'm as callous as the next guy. Why? I'm dumb as a box of rocks as a man sometimes. We all are. Men. You ladies, we're not talking about you for a minute. We just don't think. We'll say things and not think about how those words are received by others. We're black and white. I speak my mind, people say. And I've already told you how I feel about that. Just keep your mind to yourself if that's your excuse for saying things that are inappropriate or harsh or cruel. You can't do that. Well, I'm just an honest person. No, you're not. You're an imbecile. You're mean. You use that to justify saying anything to anybody, anytime. That's not... Listen, I know I've had to learn. Shut her down sometimes. Don't say what comes to my mind. Don't express my every thought. Even when I'm right. We have to have a balance in there. But they said of her, the one that was called barren. And I read that this afternoon. I wrote a note in my Bible, people can be cruel. Because when I read that today, after all the 40 years reading my Bible, I never had that note in there until today. Why? Because I'm different today than what I was 40 years ago when I was young and dumb, and now I'm just old and... Thank you, Larry. I appreciate that input. Now, if you would have finished it the other way, it would have been appropriate too. But for those of you who didn't hear it, he said smart. So just to make sure you caught that, he was being kind and gracious and not speaking his mind. But I mean, who was called barren? By who? Her friends? Likely her foes. You don't have foes. I got foes. I was the guy that when I was coming up, I was like, man, I don't want any enemies. I found out you don't even have to work to get an enemy. All you got to do is live. All you got to do is take a stand for truth. All you got to do is say, look, I'm gonna do what the Bible says. I'm going to raise my children according to the Scripture. I'm going to do the best I can to be the father or the mother or the grandmother or the brother or the sister. I'm going to do the best I can, husband and wife. And people will just hold it against you. They called her barren. Verse 37. But, well, let's go to 36 again. It's a 6 month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. You ever think something's impossible? I bet Ava thinking, man, I can't ever get up there and sing again. It's impossible. But what's the Bible say? For with God, notice that. With God, if you're with God, nothing shall be impossible. And as he said, all things are possible. So don't think, oh, I can't do it. I already told you I can't speak publicly. I mean, I took speech class, scared me to death. I was going to run out the door. I told the professor, I said, I can never do that again. You know why? I am able to speak in front of people and it doesn't faze me much. Very little, really. I just, you know, I prepare, I pray, and I get up in the power of God. But that's it. Without those three things, I couldn't do what I do. Here she is, she's barren. Do you think Elizabeth was thinking, you think Elizabeth was like, well, I got faith, you know, however old she is, let's say she's 85 years old, we don't know. And she's barren. Do you think in her wildest dreams she was ever going to have a child? It wasn't her faith that brought it. It was the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I tell you what your faith will do for you. Your faith will keep your mind intact. That's what faith is. Faith is not believing something that, like, I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to be an astronaut. Why? Well, with God, all things are possible. I'm not going to be an astronaut. Next thing you know, they'll be calling a pastor to go to the moon next, you know, and I get picked. I'm just saying, it isn't unrealistic or blind faith I'm talking about. There's no real such thing. What it is faith keeps your heart steady. Faith gives you peace. When you don't have faith, when you lack faith, you have no peace. You have no real joy. You have no real contentment. But it isn't walking around thinking the impossible. If the doctor told me I had cancer, you know what I'd think? I got cancer. I wouldn't go, I'm not going to claim it. I'm not going to claim that cancer, because if I claim that cancer, then that doctor's right. If you claim the cancer, it's not going to give you cancer. And if you don't claim the cancer, it's not going to cure you. But what you do is you don't let the cancer win. God's going to take care of me. He always has. Well, I got cancer. It's impossible. You see, it's not impossible for God to take care of you in the worst of situations. Here it is again. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She's submissive. Would you say that if God came to you and He gave you something to do, and I don't mean the angel's going to show up, you're not going to be visited by an angel. If you're visited by an angel, it's going to be a dark angel in this age, because they don't visit people and make themselves known. Not the angels. The angel Gabriel was sent by God. He doesn't send them in this age. He sent them to a Jewish young lady. There was no written word. It was a special purpose. There are going to be a lot of angelic activity going on after the rapture of the church. You read about it, it's all there. The nation of Israel had a lot of angelic activity. But imagine that God gives you something to do. Would you respond, behold, the handmaid of the Lord? In other words, behold, I am wanting to do exactly what you want me to do, and then say, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever God gives you, whatever God puts before you, can you say, be it unto me even as thy word? That's what we need to do. We need to accept the will of God in our lives and let God work through us to bring about His glory, because that's His purpose and plan. Verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Can you imagine? She knows that her cousin is expecting, and she hasn't seen her cousin for 6+ months. And here she is coming with this knowledge. But she has that knowledge. She entered in the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Remember, Zacharias can't talk. Why? Because he didn't believe, and God said, take all your speech away until they determine that the baby's name's going to be John, and then his mouth is loosed. And it came to pass, verse 41, that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The baby leaped in her womb. What was in her womb? It wasn't a fetus. It wasn't a tissue. It was a baby. It's a baby. Don't anybody call it anything else. It's a baby. Verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." There's perspective. If every, by the way, well, let me see. It's not there. Oh, next verse. "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You know what she is before that baby is born? She is the mother of the Lord. That baby's in the womb. See, I haven't preached on abortion yet. I mean, not a whole message or two or three. Yeah, I did. But I left that one out. She's called a mother while that baby's in the womb. If we would just change our mindset, it's a baby. It's a child. You're a mother even before that baby's born. It would change everything. And what does he call it in verse 42? Fruit. Fruit. That's what that baby is. That baby is the fruit of the womb. Verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is that blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." You know what God says? God's going to do what He says He's going to do. He'll perform everything He says. The end is already determined. What's going to happen? And let me just tell you, God wins. And so do we. So do we. He's going to come back with His armies. We're in those armies in Revelation chapter 19. You can't die. You can't be hurt. Whew. I like that army. You can sign on that dotted line every day if you knew you had immortality, which you're going to have a glorified body, therefore you have immortality. There's going to be a performance of that thing, and the baby leaped. And I gave you verse 46, 47, and 48 already. And I think what we'll do is we'll start on those verses Sunday. And then we'll go into Luke chapter 2 and look at what the Bible says. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being our guest. We're so honored that you'd be with us. Thank you for coming again. And again, we're honored for you being here too. And we are honored for each and every member that's here. Good to see Carrie. Glad you're back. And you know, we'll just continue to pray for you and that situation. Keep Arlene posted and you know all everything going on. And me too. We'll need to meet, Judy, you and I, and talk. Thank you again. And the sign-up sheet's in the back, and I guess we need to go ahead and go offline if I haven't already. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for many blessings. Just guide, lead, and direct. We thank you for just being such a good and gracious God. We love you, and we just want to give you all the honor for anything that faith